Welcome back to Here and Now. The number one movie at the box office this weekend was, no surprise, Star Trek, the rebooting of the 43-year-old franchise with Kirk, Spock, and the rest of the crew before they were the intrepid explorers of the television series. In this scene, a 20-something Jim Kirk, who'd of course grow up to be William Shatner, is recruited by a prescient member of Starfleet in a bar.
Enlist in Starfleet.
Enlist?
You guys must be way down in your recruiting quota for the month.
Not if you're half the man your father was, Jim. Starfleet could use you. You can be an officer in 4 years. You can have your own ship in 8. You understand what the Federation is, don't you? It's important. It's a peacekeeping and humanitarian armada.
We done?
So there is a future Captain Kirk in the film, but no Klingons, the longtime villains, then allies of the Federation. What? None of this? A scene from Star Trek III, but no, the new Star Trek film has no Klingons and so no Klingon language, so does that mean our next guest gets no screen credit? Mark Okrand, who also has a PhD in linguistics from Berkeley, created the Klingon language for the film. He joins us, and Mark, Kolekhnish?
Ah, thank you. Same to you.
You know, I thought you were going to say Gesundheit, but what does it mean?
That means it's an honor to see you.
Yes, it does.
Which is, I guess, as good a way as any to say hello. Klingons aren't much for niceties.
Well, how do you feel about the fact that they're not, and their language is not, in the new film?
Well, I feel not really unhappy, but sort of like, hey, why not? It's part of the tradition.
Yeah.
And actually, there was some Klingon language that was prepared for the new film, because there was a little Klingon subplot in there that got cut out for whatever reason.
Oh, you're on the editing room floor.
Right.
Well, as we said, a PhD in linguistics from Berkeley. You wrote your dissertation on extinct Native American languages. How do you get from there to Klingon?
Because I did Vulcan before that.
Yeah, for the Star Trek II.
For Star Trek II. But I got to Vulcan because I happened to be having lunch with a friend of mine in Hollywood, and her boss was Harve Bennett, who is the executive producer of Star Trek II. And they explained to me there's a little scene with Spock and a female Vulcan named Savik talking to each other, and the scene was shot with the two of them speaking English, but they thought for various reasons it would be better if they were speaking Vulcan, so they figured the easiest way to do that, rather than shoot the thing all over again, would be to get somebody to make up basically some gobbledygook that would match the lip movements already there, and they would just lip sync these strange syllables, and then could they put up whatever subtitles they wanted.
Well, from Vulcan to the Klingon, how do you do it? How do you make up a language, and why do it? No one would know.
Star Trek, they would know. I know that for a fact because there's a page out there on the internet, I probably shouldn't say that, listing all of the mistakes I've ever made.
Well, how could you make a mistake? It's your language.
I contradict myself without adequate explanation.
Well, let's stay with Klingon. Very guttural language, you know, a lot of that in there. Do you have to have 26 letters and then grammar? How do you organize
it? Well, the way Klingon started is in the very first movie, Star Trek the Motion Picture, there's about, I don't know, half a dozen lines of Klingon, which I didn't create. Actually, all that was created by Jimmy Doohan, the actor who played Scotty. And that was the start. So there was a phrase, you know, Chai Rush. All right, that's three syllables. Is that three words? Is that two words? Is that one word? So I made arbitrary decisions about how that works. Those are the sounds. Those are legitimate syllables. And I built on that following certain rules that I made up for myself. One is that the language had to be guttural. That was in the script. Also, there's certain tendencies and patterns that we find all over the place. So I violated those tendencies and patterns because Klingon is not a human language. Therefore, it shouldn't have to follow the human language rules. Bearing in mind that I had to be able to teach this to the actors relatively quickly so the sounds couldn't be too bizarre. So there's nothing in Klingon, no individual sound or syllable or grammatical feature that you can't find in some human language somewhere or other, but the collection is unique and shouldn't all be in the same language.
Give us another example.
That means, can you speak Klingon?
It means that, but what was it literally?
Klingon is Klingon. Hol is language. Ga means you do something to it. Jak means speak. Lach means can or be able or something like that. A means the whole thing's a question. Literally, it would be Klingon language, you do something to it, speak able question?
That's great. Well, as you well know, you eventually put together a book, and it's just been flying around on the internet, and now people are speaking it fluently. What are some of the uses that you've heard of? I understand that they're translating Shakespeare.
Yeah, there's a line in Star Trek VI where leader of the Klingon Empire, says you can't really appreciate Shakespeare until you've read him in the original Klingon. And because of that kind of throwaway joke in the movie, the serious students of Klingon decided, well, if Shakespeare was originally in Klingon, then we owe it to the world not to translate the works into Klingon, but to restore the works back to Klingon. And the way they've done it is absolutely brilliant. The parts that Shakespeare has in prose are in prose. The part that Shakespeare has in poetry are in Klingon iambic pentameter.
Give us an example, if you can, of a Shakespearean line, how we might know that line.
The one line that I did do, because it's in the movie, is tach par, tach bet, which is to be or not to be, which was a difficult line for me to make up because in Klingon there's no verb to be. When I made up the language, one of the things I decided is that verb just does not exist. So when I was asked to make up to be or not to be, I'm thinking, well, I have or and not. So I said, well, how about if we say to live or not to live? And the director, Nick Meyer, of that film, he said, okay, fine, go tell Chris. Well, Chris is Christopher Plummer, who's a well-known Shakespearean actor, and I had to go teach him how to say to be or not to be in Klingon. Well, the word for live is yin. So the phrase was yin par yin bet, and he goes, yin? I said, yeah, and he said something along the lines of, that's too wimpy. Think of something else. So I said, well, what if we say this? What if we say tach par tach bet? And he goes, tach, tach, that's good, we'll keep that.
You have not experienced Shakespeare until you have read him in the original Klingon.
Tach, pa, tach, be.
Up until that moment, tach was a suffix that meant to continue to do whatever the verb was. Now tach is promoted to a full verb, and it means to continue, to go on, to endure, so to go on or not to go on, to endure or not to endure.
That is the question.
That is the question.
Or the ech. What was question?
Ach.
Mark, it's just a lot of fun. I'm personally sad it's not in the new movie, but we understand.
But you know, I am. I do get credit in the new movie.
Oh.
Because I made a Vulcan and Romulan for the new movie.
Excellent.
And you have to have Vulcan ears, I think, to hear it. It's all in the background there somewhere. There's no prominent speaking of it, but it's there.
That's okay. We want you to get credit where credit is due. So, Mark Okrand, kakrat?
Kakro. It means thank you.
Well, you ought to know. That's Mark Okrand, a linguist and creator of the Klingon language, which was used in several Star Trek films, if not the new one. And we leave you with a little more Klingon. This is, if you can't guess, a war song. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Please join us again here and now.
Boy, can't let's go. Boy, who's that?